Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24. Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. After our prayer in a few moments, we're going to begin our reading with verse 16. So if you'll open your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The purpose of our being here tonight, as always, is to focus our attention upon the eternal Word of God. God has been so good to all of us. We're the recipients of His grace in salvation, grace by which to live victoriously and triumphantly day by day, and the grace that will one day take us to our eternal home. God has provided for us matchless and marvelous grace. The Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. That about which we boast this evening is the grace of God that is so beautiful and so wonderfully manifested in each of our lives. May we bow together for prayer. Father, we're thankful this evening once again for the privilege which is ours to be right here, to open our hearts and our minds to the eternal truths of your word. We realize that the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. We're responsible for hiding your words in our hearts on a day-by-day basis, that we will not be the recipients of satanic thinking, that we'll be able to receive the mind of our Savior Jesus Christ. We realize that you've given us everything we need to have a life of joy and peace and contentment and victory. Help us to understand that there's a difference between evil on one hand and living our lives in accordance with your plan on the other hand. So help us this night as we turn our attention away from the various activities and distractions of this day and focus our minds upon these beautiful truths. Bless, we pray, these moments of study. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, begin our reading with verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've noticed, we've read verse 16, rejoice always. We read verse 17, pray without ceasing. We read verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We read verse 19, do not quench the Spirit. We read verse 22, which is our verse for this evening, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. Now please notice what we have in verse 23. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've ever had any wonderment about the fact that as born-again believers, we're trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, you see that right here. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is emphasizing in verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify, set you apart, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I want you to do this evening is to follow me. First of all, we see 1 Thessalonians 5:22. If you look carefully at that verse of Scripture, you will see that it says, from every form of evil, abstain. The reason why I'm emphasizing this over and over again is because I want you to really see what we have in verse 22 of 1 Thessalonians 5. From every form of evil, abstain. Now on the screen, you see this verse in the Greek and the English. We first of all have a Greek preposition apo, from. We have the word pontos, every. We have the word form. We also have the word that is translated here, evil. In a few moments, we're going to reiterate three words that the Bible presents with the word evil. You will notice that the word that is used here, and I pointed out to you, it is the Greek word P-O-N-E-R-O-U. The omicron upsilon there shows that it's in the genitive case, but putting it in the nominative case, the subject of the sentence, it would be O-S, which is P-O-N-E-R-O-S, poneros. We understand that that word is similar to the word pornography. From every form of evil, abstain. And notice that the word abstain is A-P-E-C-H-O. The word echo is an interesting word in the Greek, to have, to hold. We have the prefix here, which is a alpha privative, and we have an emphasis then on the word P-E-C-H-O. Notice how that word is used. The reason why I emphasize this is because it's powerful. The Lord is telling us to stay away from evil, which is satanic thinking. And you'll notice that the word is in the present tense, which means continuous action. We're to continually be away from those things which are satanic. Stay away from satanic thinking. Abstain from evil. The middle voice has two major meanings. When the word is used from a positive standpoint, it means benefit. When it is used from a negative standpoint, it means no benefit. So it's saying here that we are to stay away from every form of evil, to abstain from every form of evil. And you'll notice that it's a verb in the imperative mood. It's a command. So I am happy that I can tell you that the Scripture teaches us that evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. I want to go slowly enough that you, if you so desire, to write that down, that you do so. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. I'm going over this several times so that you will have it in your mind and on your paper. Evil is a system of thinking, satanic thinking. I have said many times, and people may or may not understand just exactly what I'm trying to get over. I'm saying, and I've said before, that you cannot get on your knees and pray to God and ask for forgiveness of evil. I have said that you can pray, and I can pray, and we can be forgiven of sin, not evil. Because evil is a system of thinking. And the only way that you and I can get rid of satanic thinking is to get another type of thinking. We have to have God's thinking to get rid of satanic thinking. If you've heard that before, good. If you've not heard it before, you're hearing it now. If you heard it before and you didn't really hear it, I hope and trust that you're hearing it now. Evil is a system of thinking. And you don't get rid of thinking that's wrong by prayer. You get rid of wrong thinking by getting a new type of thinking. Now, have I said that enough ways for us to get it down? Evil is a system of thinking, both that opposes divine truth in belief and behavior. These three words I've given you several times. I will repeat them over and over. I've decided that what I'm going to do is to teach abstain from evil. Sermon number one. Sermon number two. This is sermon number two. Next Sunday, I'm going to be giving you tremendous information, and I realize that to give it all in one session, you would be saying, you're going entirely too fast. So I made up my mind that I would do three sessions out of the information that I have, that I was going to do it all at one time. So I have abstain from evil 3A. Abstain from evil 3B. And abstain from evil 3C. Now, don't tell the folks on Sunday what I'm doing. You are here tonight. You know. But I want you to see that I had 27 pages of information. And I decided, because so many of you said, you're going so rapidly, please put on the brakes. Please slow down. And so I went back and divided those 27 pages by three. Now, you didn't need to know that. But I wanted you to know that the word evil is used with the word kakos, K-A-K-O-S. Here it is in the transliteration, and here it is in the Greek. And when that word is used that way, it means primarily opposed to goodness of character, opposed to the goodness of God's character. There's the word kakos. Those of you who follow along in the Greek text, you can look at it and you can see that word. Then the second word that's on the screen is the word that we have in our text tonight, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. And the word means opposed to divine viewpoint. There are other connotations there, but I'm using the primary emphasis, opposed to divine viewpoint. There is vertical viewpoint, divine viewpoint, and there's human viewpoint, which we call horizontal viewpoint. What we need to know is that God wants us to move away from that which is opposed to divine viewpoint. So now we have two words, kaikos and poneros. This next word I have emphasized, and it is a dirty word. So you're paying more attention now. The Greek word is phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S. Notice, if you will, please, the primary emphasis there is that when that word is found, it emphasizes opposition to divine good. Opposition to divine good. Abstain from evil, number two. That's where we are tonight. Abstain from evil, number two. The German translation says, from all manner of evil, keep your distance. The reason I put this on the screen for you is because I was impressed when I found that German translation. Look at it. From all manner of evil, keep your distance. That's a good translation. Last Sunday, in the bulletin, you had this insert. An emphasis upon the divine dynasphere. Living inside of God's plan. Being in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've emphasized this time and time again. I believe that most of you would be able to draw this picture for me and put all these 8 points down. If you cannot do that, I would encourage you to write this down now or type it out later so that you can have it memorized. This is an emphasis upon what God desires for each one of us. He wants us to be inside of this power sphere, divine power sphere, love system, interlocking systems of love, whatever you want to use, terminology, it means to be in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got there by being restored to fellowship. You understood some things about impersonal love. We haven't really gotten into this properly yet, and that is personal love for God and impersonal love for others. But there is a relaxed mental attitude that God desires for us to have. And so these points, I'm not reiterating all of those tonight, but I want you to see that when you get over here to step four, there's an emphasis upon perception and application of God's Word. You've heard this so many times, but let me remind you that when you made your way through these various steps, you made your way by understanding restoration to fellowship. You have a relaxed mental attitude. You understand some things about impersonal love. You understand some things about humility, enforced organizational and genuine humility. We haven't discussed that in recent days. But I also need to tell you that once you've gone through these four steps here, then you'll notice that the line goes all the way down here and moves rapidly through number 5, number 6, number 7, and number 8. Last Sunday, this insert was in your bulletin. On the back of the bulletin, there were some points, and I went through these points, and then I marked some and was planning on giving this last Sunday, and I didn't get to it. I marked number 2, number 3, number 8, number 9, number 10. Now, I don't imagine that you have last Sunday's bulletin in hand, and you may or may not have this, but that's okay. If you don't have it, you can pick up the bulletin later. But I want to point out these particular ones that I've marked for myself to share with you. The divine dynasphere is given to each believer at the point of spiritual birth. Now, you don't have to write this down, but just remember that when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you were the recipient of imputed righteousness. Jesus Christ said, I and you and me, and at that point of time, you were in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. You were in harmony. You were filled with the Spirit. You were right with Him. How long you stayed in fellowship, I don't know, but probably not all that long. But the divine power sphere has been given to each believer at the point of being born again, spiritual birth. The third one I mentioned here, the power of the divine dynasphere, is God the Holy Spirit. We read tonight from 1 Thessalonians 5. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify, set you apart, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. An emphasis upon a person who is trichotomous. Body, soul, and spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the divine dynasphere is the Holy Spirit. Then I went all the way down to number 8. The believer provides the perception, and the pastor provides the spiritual food. I thought that was a unique one, and I wanted to share it with you to let you realize my responsibility. The believer provides perception. The pastor provides spiritual food. And this is to be done consistently and faithfully. Then my number 9, a believer who rejects God's word closes doors and destroys options. The saddest thing that can happen to you and me is for us to close those doors. You'll notice that it says a believer who rejects truth closes doors and destroys options. If you're choosing on a day-by-day basis to have the doors open, you can be the recipient of what God has in store for you. If you choose to shut those doors, and you're the one who makes that decision, if you reject God's word, you close the doors and you destroy options. A believer, on the other hand, who accepts God's word, opens the doors and makes possible greater options, which result in great blessings, great happiness, and great dynamics in this life. These are magnificent words. And if you don't have a copy of last Sunday's bulletin insert, I would encourage you to get it. Then number 10, perception is the only thing that can turn around and preserve our client nation. Oh, my friends, it's very, very important for us to understand that. Now tonight, we're ready to go. Abstain from evil. That's what we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:22. To obey this command, it is necessary to learn what evil is and what forms evil takes. We're going to go over this enough in the coming weeks that you will have an understanding of what I'm trying to present in relationship to the subject of evil. Evil is satanic thinking. If you're not in harmony with the Lord, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not receiving spiritual fuel for your soul, if you're under the control of your old sinful nature, you and I, at that point of time, under the control of our sinful nature, we're going to be receiving satanic thinking. To obey this command, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, to abstain from evil, it is necessary for us to learn what evil is and what forms it takes. The word evil is a distinct technical categorical meaning in the Word of God. It is not simply a generic word referring to anything that is bad or sinful. Please let me reiterate that. The word evil has a distinct technical and categorical meaning in the wonderful Word of God. It is not simply a generic word referring to anything that is bad or sinful. The word evil refers specifically to the policy of Satan. You may not be able to write all this, but you can write an abbreviated statement. The word evil refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. Evil, then, is the modus operandi of Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and down to the point when he became the ruler of the world. I repeat, the word evil refers specifically to the policy, the thinking of Satan as the ruler of the world. You can put it down, whatever Satan has for you and me is not good. We may think it is good. It may be alluring. It may be enticing. It may be something we would enjoy doing. But whatever Satan has to provide for us is not for our good, even though we may sometimes conclude that it is. So, let me repeat. The word evil refers specifically to the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. Even evil is the modus operandi of the Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic revolution and down to the point when he became the ruler of the world. I want to be theologically correct in relationship to sermon preparation. Now, you think I'm being facetious, and I am. At the seminary and in college, they always emphasize 3 points in a poem, a wonderful introduction, and close with somewhat of an emotional type of conclusion. I'm sure that you've noticed I've done that through all these 42 years. My second point tonight, Satan is directly opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please realize how powerful that statement is. Satan is directly opposed to anything involving the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is devoted to distorting or obscuring any truth related to Christ. That's supposed to be Satan is devoted to distorting or observing or obscuring any truth related to Christ. We find that in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, which says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world," that's Satan, "has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." If you look carefully at this verse, you will see that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is telling us in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Satan is in the process of blinding the minds of the unbelievers. But also, I'm sure you realize that Satan is also very happy when people who've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior will be pulling the dark curtains of blindness over their minds. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. Evil is Satan's system by which he administers the rulership of this world. He uses his world rulership to try to bring about the downfall of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Satan tries to turn as many people as possible away from the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Do you see what I'm driving at tonight? Through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on earth: sin and human good, the motivation of evil. Please notice how I'm putting this. Through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on the earth: sin on the one hand, human good, which is the motivation of evil. Both of which are based on errors in thinking. Each person in this auditorium tonight, every person hearing my voice, you have the ability to use your mind and to think. What happens here is that Satan is in the business of leading people in directions which are not proper. Both are based on errors in thinking. There's the sin, for instance, of self-righteousness combined with human good or sincerity, and this produces a saturation of evil, even in our nation. Notice, if you will, please, that statement. Through evil, Satan brings about two major consequences on earth: sin, human good, which is the motivation of evil. Both of which are based on errors in thinking. Am I going so slow that you're just going to go to sleep in the midst of my individual sentences? Or are you with me? The sin of self-righteousness combined with human good or sincerity produces a saturation of evil in our nation. One of the main reasons for learning about evil from the Bible is to learn that mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, cannot solve problems by human solutions. That's very important for you to put into your thinking. One of the main reasons why we're studying this subject from the Word of God is to learn, we'll see some more about this before we finish tonight, to learn that man cannot solve his problems by human solutions. Any effective solution to a human problem is a divine solution. Any effective solution to a human problem is a divine solution. And there's an answer in the Bible for every human need or problem. All of us here in this auditorium tonight, every person hearing my voice, we all have had and are having problems in life. We look for solutions to the problems. And any effective solution to a human problem is a divine solution. And there is an answer in the Word of God for every human need or every human problem. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. It doesn't say that everything is good. It says all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. We need to take that verse and really analyze it and look at it, see the various aspects, the various parts of that verse, and it will make a lot of sense. Anything that is outside of the plan of God is part of Satan's strategy of evil. In other words, if you get outside of the divine dynasphere, you have already subjected yourself, I've subjected myself to what Satan has to offer, which is satanic thinking, because it's a control of the old sinful nature. How many of us today, no, don't answer this, please. How many of us today have at times been under the control of our sinful nature and not under the power of God and the Word of God? We have to answer that. Each one of us, when we go through each day, we must be aware of the fact that every moment we live, we're either right with God or we're not right with God. And if we're not right with God, we're under the control of our sinful natures. And we're doing what Satan wants us to do, think his thoughts. Anything that is outside of the plan of God is a part of Satan's strategy of evil. Therefore, any person who is consistently involved in the satanic system, which we call the cosmic system, is directly involved with evil. I trust that when you leave here tonight, you will remember what this means to you as an individual. Because I have to look at myself and see what this involves with me as an individual. Notice, please, again, that last statement. Anything that is outside of the plan of God is part of Satan's strategy of evil. Therefore, any person who is consistently involved in the satanic system is directly involved with evil. Evil results in the destruction of society, the malfunction of society. Evil causes the removal of legitimate authority and its function under the laws of divine establishment. We haven't spent a lot of time. We will do this a little bit on Sunday because of the great day that we're thinking about. But we're looking at the laws of divine establishment. Just as grace and the Word of God doctrine represents the genius of God in relationship to the human race, so evil represents the genius of Satan in relation to the human race. In other words, we're thinking about the laws of divine establishment. Are you familiar with the four laws of divine establishment? You're familiar with choice. You're familiar with volition, emphasis upon choice, family, marriage, nationalism. It's important for us to know how to think. Because if we're thinking satanic thinking, then we're not going to be a blessing to our own lives, our families, our community, our nation. Therefore, what you think and how you think, what I think and how I think, is very important. There are two ways of thinking. Vertical thinking, divine thinking, which is thinking God's truth, which glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Or on the other hand, there's horizontal thinking, human viewpoint, thinking Satan's concepts, which dishonors Christ. I just can imagine what some of you are thinking right now. Everything you're saying, I know. Okay, are we practicing what we know? Therefore, the issue is thought versus thought. In other words, either my thinking is divine thinking or satanic thinking. So it is, in essence, thought versus thought. And your mind alone is what you're thinking. It's not what your husband or wife or sons or daughters, mother, dad, it's not what they're thinking. It's what you're thinking. It's what I'm thinking. It's personal. It's individual. Do you see that? We either have vertical thinking or human thinking. We have God's thoughts or satanic thoughts. But notice now, evil attempts to produce a human good panacea which is expected to solve the problems of life apart from God's word and divine establishment. Now that sentence is so big, I just want to go over it and let you see parts of it. Evil attempts to produce a human good panacea. You can stop right there. Evil attempts to produce a human good panacea, which is expected to solve the problems of life. And this is being done apart from God's word and an understanding of divine establishment. What God's plan is. What God's plan is in relationship to volition, our thoughts. What God's plan is in relationship to marriage. What God's plan is in relationship to family. What God's attitude and plan is for us in relationship to nationalism. So evil is often distortion of the Word of God, doctrine, or distortion of the laws of divine establishment. Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. I was looking at this again tonight. I went over to the book of Genesis, and I was reading there before coming in here this evening. A little bit of the information in relationship to the woman, Eve, and Satan. And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it lest you die." You know, always someone adds a little extra. Isn't it interesting how people write the scripture and then add something extra? And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." Do you hear that? Do you hear what Satan is doing? And then here's what Satan says. "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Wow. You follow that? "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate." But that's not the end of that sentence. "And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate." Do I need to talk about that? Do I need to say anything about you ladies? No, I wouldn't do that for the world. Evil attempts to produce a human good panacea, which is expected to solve the problems of life apart from God's word and divine establishment. So evil, then, is so often a distortion of the word of God, of doctrine, and divine establishment. Notice now, please stay with me. Satan's original sin was a distortion of biblical concepts. Evil comes, and I've had fun with this, and I'm going to ask you to have fun with me. Evil comes in different forms. I'm going to list four. There are many, but I'm going to list four. The first one is altruistic humanitarianism. You may want to take time to write that one down. I looked up the word altruistic. I thought I knew. It's an adjective defined in this fashion: showing a disinterested and selfless concern for the well-being of others. The word altruistic means unselfish. Synonyms: unselfish, selfless, compassionate, kind, public, public-spirited, charitable, benevolent, philanthropic, humanitarian. These are just a few words that describe it. Evil comes in the form, oftentimes, of altruistic humanitarianism. Are you aware of the fact that there are people out there doing good, that is, satanic good, not divine good? Altruistic. Well, I looked up this next word, philanthropy, a noun. The desire to promote the welfare of others, expressed especially by the generous donation of money to good causes. Now, there's not anything particularly wrong with doing some of these things if it's done while a person is right with God and in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ. But the word philanthropic, synonyms: benevolence, generosity, altruism, social conscience, charity, brotherly love, many different words. So you can see things that are good. Things that are good can be not good. Notice, if you will, the next word is the word religion. I had a lot of information on religion, and I decided not to go into it, but just let you know that religion is Satan's primary goal, to get people to be religious. There's a difference between religion on the one hand and Christianity on the other hand. People trying to do good to get God to accept their goodness to take them to heaven. That's religion. I looked up some verses on religion, and it's very interesting indeed. The last word you see on the screen is the word legalism. Legalism is a religious system that teaches that a person can do something to earn or merit salvation, or earn or merit blessings from God. If you don't have that definition, I'm going to leave this on the screen long enough for you to get it. Legalism is a religious system that teaches that a person can do something to earn or merit salvation, or earn or merit blessings from God. How tragic this is, because legalism says that if a person is good. The other day someone came to our house. I was giving them some coins and talking about the Lord, and I said, there were three people sitting on our little bench, and I said, what do you believe is necessary for a person to go to heaven? And the first little girl said, be good. The fellow sitting next to her said, you have to be born again. And I didn't ask the third one. I don't know what she was thinking. Legalism is a religious system that teaches that a person can do something, be good, to earn or merit salvation. On the other hand, a lot of people say, you're saved by grace, but the way you're to live is by being good. Now, I'm not saying you should be bad for any moment, but I want you to know that I am saying that trying to live the Christian life in the energies of the flesh cannot be done. The Christian life cannot be lived in the energies of the flesh. because it is a supernatural way of life. A supernatural way of life demands a supernatural provision to live that supernatural life. That's being in fellowship, in harmony, and utilizing God's Word. Legalism, unrestrained, results in moral degeneracy. Now, you're going to have to think with me about this. Legalism, unrestrained, results in moral degeneracy. A person fits in the moral category, but still degenerate. Legalism, unrestrained, results in moral degeneracy. On the other hand, lasciviousness, unrestrained, results in immoral degeneracy. It takes a while to think that through. I want you to listen to it very carefully, and I'm going to go over it several times. What does legalism do? Legalism is a system of religion that teaches that a person can do something to either earn salvation or to be the recipient of blessings while they're on the earth, doing good. Legalism, unrestrained, results in moral degeneracy. Lasciviousness, we are familiar with that word, I think. Lasciviousness, unrestrained, results in immoral degeneracy. What does our scripture say? And we look at it again. Abstain from every form of evil. Or, from every form of evil, panaros, pornography, this would be an emphasis upon lasciviousness. From every form of evil, abstain. And if you do, middle voice, you'll be benefited thereby. You're to do this continuously, present tense. It's an imperative verb. It's a command. Are you with me? Do you see why I put these things on the screen for you to see? Do you see why I emphasize how important these verbs are? Present, middle, imperative, second person plural. And it says, you'll be benefited. I'll be benefited if we choose to run away from evil. We're to do it continuously. It's a command from God. Closing. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. If you didn't get this at the beginning of the message, please get it now. Three words, kakos, panaros, phalos. I'm not asking you to try to impress your friends when you leave the church tonight with Greek words, but I want you to see it. Evil, kakos. When you look at this Greek New Testament, you will find that word. What does it mean? Primarily, opposition to the goodness of God's character. Panaros, opposition to divine viewpoint. Phalos, P-H-A-U-L-O-S, evil, opposition to divine good. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Tonight, Father, these are important words, and these are important thoughts for all of us. Help us to hear, not only with the ears on our heads, but the ears of our hearts, that we might be able to see the difference between sin on the one hand, evil on the other hand, and how we're confronted on a day-by-day basis, whether we're going to be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, or under the control of our old sinful nature, satanic thinking. We're in the last moments now at the closing of this service. There are those hearing this voice tonight, I'm sure, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I do not know, but I do know that there's a great possibility that there will be those who will hear these words who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but they could do it right now. God loves the world. God loves us. Jesus Christ was willing to die for us. We have the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus telling us, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This tells us very vividly that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that at this very moment, there will be those who will accept you as their personal Lord and Savior. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so. It says you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will trust you now. And we thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.